time for Just the Cats on Talk Radio 1080. Now here's every Wildcat's best friend, Michael Bennett, alongside Shannon the Dude.
Hello, Big Blue Nation. This is Just the Cats. My name's Michael Bennett, along with Shannon the Dude. If you'd like to give us a call today, you can call us at 502-571-1080. You can tweet me at Just the Cat Radio. So we got several things to talk about today. A little bit of football, a little bit of basketball, and amongst some other things. I mean, I think really yesterday, Shannon, as you know, you were just telling me during the break, you came back into QMF yesterday. Because I think the big news for a lot of us, especially that grew up in the 80s, somewhat the 90s, but Eddie Van Halen passed away at the ripe young age of 65 years old.
Yeah, yeah, that was a big loss for the rock and roll world. You know, he had been battling cancer for several years.
Right.
So it wasn't necessarily a shock. But, you know, we hadn't heard an update on how his condition was lately. So, you know, for all we knew, he was recovering and doing fine. And then all of a sudden you do get the news that he passed away. So, like I said, it wasn't shocking, but it kind of was surprising, I guess, that it happened like that. You would think that maybe you would get some updates, you know, before you get the announcement of him passing away. But yesterday, that's not how it worked. He actually passed away yesterday morning. We didn't get the news until yesterday afternoon.
Exactly. Yeah. I had read an article last night that he had been flying all the way to Germany to get treatment.
Right. Yeah.
Some kind of special treatment over there. And unfortunately, didn't work. And of course, it's all related to his smoking, and which created the lung cancer and spread everywhere else. So it's unfortunate. I mean, if you're honest, you can talk about Eddie Van Halen and say he was probably one of the greatest guitarists.
Oh, yeah. No doubt about it.
I know a lot of people like to say Eric Clapton. A lot of other people, including myself, like to say Prince. But, I mean, Eddie Van Halen is just, he's up there with all of those names. And sometimes maybe even the best one out of all of them.
When you start going through and looking at all the hits that Van Halen had.
Oh, yeah.
It's amazing. And the fact that they were able to switch lead singers, which very few bands have been able to do.
Successfully.
AC/DC did it successfully.
Yes.
But, yeah, it was just amazing because they had even bigger hits with Sammy Hagar.
Yes. Yeah.
It's crazy.
Well, it is crazy because, you know, here Sammy Hagar, wildly successful musician by himself in his own right, and he joins Van Halen. Of course, everybody makes fun of it, calling it Van Hagar.
Yeah.
But it was. I mean, 5150, their album with that. Dreams, I told you, was one of my favorite songs from Sammy Hagar and Van Halen. But, yeah, Eddie Van Halen wrote majority of the songs, I believe, didn't he?
Yeah, so I came, you know, I just wiped everything out of the QMF log yesterday, everything that I was going to play.
Yeah.
Took all that out. We just went wall to wall with Van Halen, and it was a lot of I don't want to say it was fun, but it was just it was just a way of going back and remembering how many big hits those guys had. It was just unbelievable how many hits.
A nice tribute.
A lot of them that I had even forgotten, cuz normally some of those songs aren't played on the radio on a regular basis.
No, and that's the horrible part about it is that you and I were talking as well about Fair Warning, the album, and I'm sure people are like, why are you talking about this? But Fair Warning was probably my favorite Van Halen album, and there's a song, and it never got a lot of play, and Unchained was probably my favorite song out of all of Van Halen, and it came from that album right
there.
So
we'll play some Van Halen as we come in and out of the breaks today.
Yeah, that sounds good. That, and then unfortunately, Jimmy Nash, too, passed away. Jimmy Nash, who sang I Can See Clearly Now, and he died of natural causes, so thank goodness it wasn't anything having to deal with COVID, but still, it's 2020, we've lost so many great people this year. It's just been heartbreaking, without a doubt.
Yeah, yeah. So now, just switching subjects a little bit, are you doing okay after your procedure yesterday?
I tell you what, Dr. O'Brien here in Louisville, yes, the dermatologist, I had a Mohs procedure yesterday. I had a little skin cancer on my face. I was there 4.5 hours.
Oh, my gosh.
Exactly.
Were they checking you out, make sure you didn't have any other spots?
No, they knew the one spot that they had to do, and thank goodness they only had the most procedure. You go in there and slice it out, go see if you got all the cancer out, and then you go back and you have to slice it again if there's more there. And thank goodness they only had to do it one time.
Yeah.
But you're awake the entire time. And the really nice nurse, Sherry, she said, Michael, I'm going to put a towel over your face so you don't have to watch this. And I'm like, you are not putting a towel over my face. You don't realize how claustrophobic I am. And then I start telling her about my MRI ordeal. And of course, they're all laughing at me. But so I said, no towel. And I just closed my eyes and it was okay. It was just weird. I got this gigantic white bandage on my face. Feel like I've been beaten up.
I saw your picture that you posted. Now, to numb that, do they take a big needle and just jab it right into your face like a pincushion?
Yeah, exactly. They just jabbed it right in my
face. Like you're a voodoo doll?
That was a big fat voodoo ball. But yeah, you can call
not a ball, a doll. Well, you said a big fat voodoo ball.
I did. No, a doll. I'm Voodoo Mama Juju.
Apparently, you also said Jimmy Nash. It's Johnny Nash, right?
Johnny Nash. Yeah. I didn't mean Jimmy. Yeah. I don't know what it is with names. Thank you. It's Johnny Nash.
Yeah.
But anyway. All right. Yeah.
He goes by Jimmy, too.
Yeah, definitely. Don't we all? So, it's fine. Thank goodness it's no big deal. And just got to wait for this. He had to put stitches in my face. So, and we'll see how it goes. So, anyway, yeah, we're all good.
Okay.
I'm glad that ordeal is over. I just want to check on you,
make sure you're okay. Yeah.
Well, I appreciate that. All right, let's talk about some football because Paul Feinbaum has been picking on our University of Kentucky football team, and one of the coaches is not liking it. All right, I don't know if you saw this or not, Shannon, but a couple days ago, Paul Feinbaum was on a Birmingham radio show being interviewed, and he brought up Kentucky. And he made the comment, he said, after Saturday, there's no more cases to be made for Kentucky. It's time to start thinking about John Calipari's basketball
team. Stop it.
Well?
No, there is no well.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, again, we're playing all SEC schools here. Yes, you should have beaten Ole Miss. Yes, you should have hung in with Auburn better than you did. But we're only talking about two games into the season. We still got eight more games. A lot can happen.
Yes.
So to say that, it's disrespectful. And, I don't agree with that.
Well, I don't agree with it at all either. But it does make those naysayers throughout the Southeastern Conference. See, I told you, Kentucky's not ready to be ranked up there where they were ranked. And I'm just playing devil's advocate because I don't
know. Well, I don't know that they're how I feel about the rankings. I don't care about the rankings.
I know you do.
But those preseason rankings don't mean anything to me. You come out, you win your next, three or four games, which is going to be really tough to do. But if you do it, you're going to be right back up in the top 25 where you belong.
Well, you look at Vanderbilt, who's been able to beat Tennessee, not with Derek Mason, but he was with Franklin. Franklin did a great job there, and he was beating teams. You look at Mississippi State and Mike Leach. They go to LSU. Of course, they blew a game with Arkansas, as far as I'm concerned, but they still got a big win down in Baton Rouge. You look at other teams that are able to successfully get wins. And it seems like Kentucky, for some reason, we always have at least one bad loss every year. I felt like Tennessee for the past couple years has been a really bad loss for Kentucky. We shouldn't have lost to them back in 2018 when we went to Knoxville and we had Benny Snell, we had Josh Allen, we had all these great players, yet we go down there and just put up a big egg.
Yeah.
And last year, same thing. We're inside the 10-yard line, first and goal, and cannot score. I mean, I don't understand why it seems like every year we put up an egg at least in one game. And of course, Florida felt like we should have won. And so it's just ridiculous. So I don't know. We need to talk about this a little more. Plus, I want to talk about somebody saw this as well, because Larry Vaught wrote a really nice post about this, and you should go check it out. But Larry Vaught was pointing it out, and one coach saw it and responded to it. So we'll talk about that when we come
back.
Here's
the quote from Feinbaum. After Saturday, there's no more cases to be made for Kentucky. It's time to start thinking about John Calipari's basketball team. I like Feinbaum, but let's be real. Feinbaum's like dry salad. I mean, he has no personality. He's not the one to be coming
without
on.
Without dressing.
That's what I mean by dry salad.
Okay, there
salad
you go.
Without the dressing. He's just lettuce and croutons and maybe some shredded up cheese. That's fine, Bob.
Maybe your Brussels sprout.
He, you know, when he opens his mouth, bad things come out. So maybe he needs to do what he normally does, open up his phone, say, hello, everybody. I'm Paul Feinbaum, and just let the callers talk the entire show.
Oh, my gosh. Call him out, and I love how you just called him out. Let's go ahead and take a break. I want to hear from you out there. Let me know what you think of Paul Feinbaum's comments. 502-571-1080. You can tweet me at Just the Cat Radio. A lot of the stuff we want to talk about today. And I'm looking forward to the Van Halen songs. We'll be right back. This is Just the Cat.
Thanks for listening to Just the Cats on Talk Radio 1080.
Yeah. All right, let's let it play for a minute, because this is, you said this is Eruption.
Yeah.
Which leads into
You really got me, yeah.
Yeah, you really got me.
And this is actually what he would warm up with. This is like a practice that he would do to get ready for a show, and then he ended up recording it. Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Can you imagine? That's his warm up. Good Lord!
Didn't he take a drill and play the drill on
yes.
the guitar?
Yes.
One time.
Yeah, yeah, he did.
And just made some crazy noises. I mean, to think about all the different types of. Thoughts he had, how to play the guitar. It was just amazing what he would do.
Yep. He's a guitar god. There's no doubt about it. One of the best to ever do it.
Yeah. I didn't realize he made his first guitar, and it was the one he probably used the most on a lot of the albums.
You know who's a really big fan of Van Halen in our building. Well, there's nobody in our building right now, but that works within our building on a, you know, under normal circumstances. Dwight Whitten is a huge Van Halen fan.
Yeah.
So I'm sure he's going to have a tough show today talking about Van Halen.
I know.
He looks like Sammy Hagar.
No. He doesn't look like.
He is
Sammy Hagar. I mean, let's just be totally honest. For everybody out there that doesn't, that's not in Louisville, you don't know who Dwight Whitten is, but he's got a show on.
That's a show with Tony Vannetti on WHAS.
Tony Vannetti. Yep. Yeah. He's been on with me one time. But a great guy, and he's really like Shannon, like you are, a rock and roll aficionado. And it is amazing how he's been able to get a lot of these music stars to come onto the show with them. And I think he's got somebody related to Van Halen coming on with him today. Not trying to get you to switch over from Tom Leach. I want you to listen to Tom Leach, but maybe you can hear it on the podcast a little later on. But, so I think it's really sad. But, let's talk about the whole thing going on with Paul Feinbaum. As Shannon likes to say, he's a good dry salad. So, Vince Merrill caught wind of this, and he responded because again, it goes back to Larry Vaught wrote a post about Paul Feinbaum writing this or saying this, making this comment about UK football. Here is what how Vince responded to Larry Vaught's post. He said, "Wow, UK football, you just got called out. I believe in the staff and players, so let's do what we do best, block all the noise, and let's go to work. This isn't the first time we've had to shut people up.
Love it.
Go Big Blue." So you love, exactly, and I love how he finishes it. Shut the people up, go Big Blue.
Yep.
I mean, that's just the greatest way to respond to it. And it's just, I don't understand. And I'm going to call, I'm sure Paul Feinbaum is a really nice guy. I'm sure he is. But to call a team like this totally out, and when they're kind of hurting right now, yes, this was supposed to be a good team. And yes, I've been upset the last couple of days. I've been hard on maybe a couple of players, but I'm just trying to be realistic here. This team should be better than it is. And you said it, I think it was Monday or yesterday, a couple of plays, and we could very easily be 2-0. And here we are 0-2.
I still believe this is a good team. I still do.
With the secondary, even with the way the defense has played altogether.
I mean, look, this team has issues, but what team hasn't had issues in the past?
True.
You just got to overcome and find the right combination of players out there to give you the best chance to win. You know, if you could put 41 points up against Ole Miss, I mean, I feel comfortable. I like our offense. I feel comfortable with them. Our secondary, like you said, that's an issue, but, you know, We still got time to figure this thing out.
Well, we left a lot of points on the field versus Auburn. Yes, we put a lot of points on the board against Ole Miss, but we should have. Their defense is terrible. But if there's one thing that we've got to work on first, Shannon, what is the one thing we have to make certain happens this weekend to be able to ensure that we get a win against Mississippi State?
We make extra points. Or we just go for two every time.
Yeah.
No, I guess Mississippi State, I mean, you know, with Costello coming in, you know, like we talked about, he threw for, what, over 650 yards the first game.
Yeah.
Didn't look great against Arkansas, but again, we know he has that potential. So, again, it's the secondary. That's my main concern. The secondary has got to play their best game for Kentucky to have a chance.
Yeah, they really do. And this is going to be one of those games that it's going to be tested in a tremendous way the entire game. That secondary, because Mike Leach, best well known for the air raid. And guess what? He's going to bring it in Saturday, and we better be prepared for it. And somehow, some way, you can't just say the secondary. It's got to be that defensive line, too. They've got to be able to get back and make some hurries for their quarterback.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it is going to be a long game. He's going to be sitting back there picking apart the secondary, and you can't just blame the secondary for that happening.
Yeah, you can't give them time to sit back there in the pocket. You got to, you know, make Costello feel uncomfortable, make him scramble around a little bit, and put some pressure on him.
Right. You put pressure on him, make him hurry, then mistakes hopefully will happen. Because the other stat, you know, we're one of six or seven teams in the country that have had zero turnovers, and we've got to be able to create turnovers some way.
Yeah, that's what hurt him against Auburn. I mean, Auburn played a clean game, Kentucky did not, and that really could have been the difference in the game.
Because again,
we've talked, because we talked about, you know, the last 2 weeks. If you look on paper. If you didn't watch the game, you just looked at the stats, you would say, well, Kentucky probably won those two games.
Easily.
Yeah.
And then you look at the turnover ratio, and we have zero, we've created zero turnovers, yet we've had turnovers on our own team. That's the one stat that is glaring at Mark Stoops right now. Somehow we have to figure a way to create turnovers, and we just haven't done that this year.
Right. Yeah.
So
again, that's why I say those two opening games are. You know, we're missing those, I think, this year, because that's where you have all the opportunity to clean up your mistakes.
And still win.
Right.
Yeah, and this year we just can't take that chance. Now, Michelle, who listens to us on a daily basis, and I appreciate it, she, you know, we were talking about, I would like to know how many losses we've had at those certain times, so 7, 7:30, 3:30 to 4, 6, and 11 to 12.
Yeah.
So she found out the stats as far as how many games we've lost.
Oh, you mean somebody's actually doing show prep? God forbid the hosts do it. Let's get our listeners to do it.
All right, exactly. That's the whole point. So I love this. So thank you, Michelle, for doing some show prep for me. But yes, all right, are you ready? What time frame do you think we have the most losses? 7 to 7:30, 3:30 to 6, which is practically that 4 o'clock time slot, or 11 to 12, which is the noontime game.
Before I answer this, though, I mean, is there a proportionate amount of games played on each time?
You know, that's a great question. I don't know. I don't have that.
Because
stat,
if you play a lot more 12 o'clock games, which I would say Kentucky historically has.
Yes.
Then the late games, then of course you're going to lose more early games. So I'm going to say they've lost more early games.
See, and that's where you're wrong.
Really?
See, I would have thought the same thing, too. Now, proportionately, you would assume that we've played more noontime games. You're right.
Yeah.
And that's what I would have thought. But we've lost 21 games from the 7 to 7:30. 3:30 to 6 is second with 14 games we've lost, and 11 to 12, we've only lost 11.
Oh, okay.
And that's kind of surprised me right there. I would have.
And that's what time that Tennessee game is, right? Isn't that a noon game?
Yeah, it's a noontime game. So maybe that's kind of a good omen for us that we're going down there. They're having their big celebration, the special jersey, and they're going to be auctioning them off, which I'm hoping that more UK fans are going to be buying them. So, all right, let's go take a phone call real quick before we go to break. Real quick, who's up?
Ed, what's going on, man?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How are you?
Doing great, thank you.
Good. Hey, let's couple points about the football team. All right, we're struggling. Where's our weak points right now? Secondary and special teams, right?
Correct. I agree with you wholeheartedly.
Okay. Now, I might be wrong, but didn't Dean Hood help with secondary also?
You're exactly right, and that's been a missing link right there. Real quick, we got about 15 seconds.
Okay, And then we also have long snap, new snapper, and a new holder, I believe. So
yeah, that makes it tough right there. Yeah, and I'm sorry to cut you off. We got to take a hard break right here. If you want to hold on, you can. But we'll be right back. Just the Cats.
You're listening to Just the Cats on Talk Radio 1080.
Never hear on radio at all, unless you play it.
I did play it yesterday. Absolutely. This is definitely my top three Van Halen songs.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's my favorite one, but it's definitely one of them.
Oh, it's my favorite one. It definitely is my favorite one. You brought it up during the break. It's funny how you and I picked out a random song like this.
As one of our favorites.
Many other hits.
Yeah.
But I figured you would have said Panama.
I love Panama, too.
Yeah, just because you've got a place down there.
Right.
Tribute to your place down in Panama. So.
Well, he never said City Beach. I mean, he could have been talking about the country Panama.
Oh,
City.
Come on. You know he's talking about Florida. He's got to be. He's not talking about some random Central American country.
Why's it got to be random? It's okay. On the map.
Okay. Well, the only thing random I know is Paul Feinbaum. And yeah, we need to make fun of him more often. And we're not doing
well,
it.
Well, usually
enough.
There's nothing really to say about Paul Feinbaum. Usually it's his callers.
That's the whole thing. That's the whole premise of the whole show. It's not Paul Feinbaum and his just over-exuberating personality, which is far from there. It's his phone callers.
I'm intrigued by – did you hear that they're trying to make a sitcom?
Yes.
About the Paul Feinbaum show? Is it about the show or about Paul Feinbaum himself?
I have no idea. I mean, that is – I have literally –
I mean, what would that be? Like, what would that show be? Like, it just cuts to Paul Feinbaum waking up. He goes over to get a coffee, read the newspaper.
Yeah.
To me, that's the whole show.
Yeah.
He doesn't say
hair.
A word.
He goes and gets hair plugs. I mean, I don't know. There was nothing funny about him. Has he ever even smiled on the show?
Sure he has. Yeah.
He has?
Yeah.
I've never seen his face go anywhere in the upwards position. So, no, I think it's a boring show. But to call out UK like he did, I don't really have a problem with. Let's go back to the phone lines. 502-571-1080. Who's up?
Blandon.
Blandon, what's going on?
Hey, good morning, Michael. Hope you and the champ are doing good this morning.
We're doing great.
Thank you.
Michael, I hope that you was all eyes on the OVW last night, professional wrestling on TV, because they had a segment there. They had a bunch of champions in the ring last night, and our man, the world radio heavyweight champion, buddy, he stood out like a sore thumb last night.
That's right. I usually do.
Well, no, I was watching Tampa Bay Rays, flipping between that and the Lakers.
Oh, some friend
game.
You are. You're watching Tampa Bay. Meanwhile, you got world-class wrestling.
Michael, you know, you should be fined and suspended after that comment. That is just appalling.
All right.
I don't care if it's your own show. To say that and not back this man, you ought to be ashamed.
That's true.
Somebody mentioned to you, Shannon, that you should be tagging up with somebody.
Our last caller there, he had one more thing to say. And
I'm sorry we didn't get to do it.
What he wanted to talk about was wrestling. He said he had the idea that I should team up with Woo and Cash Daniel, and we should have a six-man tag.
See, I think that's a great idea.
The question is, who would we take on?
Yes.
I'm thinking Sally Barrett, Paul Feinbaum, and who would the third be? Amy McGrath.
Oh my
there we go. There's our six-man tag.
McGrath.
Yeah.
Well, you know, she's a fighter pilot. So
that's true.
She'd
probably kick my butt. That's true.
I would agree with that. But, Derek, go ahead. What else is going on?
Go ahead,
on?
Blandon.
Or Blandon.
No. I want to also say I was a little surprised, you guys, at the heat that Terry Wilson's coming under about the game Saturday. I didn't think Terry Wilson was the reason why they lost the game. And I know a lot of people, you know, we're all quick to point and everything, but – I am surprised how bad the defense is and how bad special teams is right now. To me, those are the two worst problems they got.
Yeah, exactly. And I appreciate the phone call, but I'm
good day.
With you.
Thank
there.
You, Blandon. We'll see you
same.
Next time.
But I'm with you. It's special teams. I mean, we've got to make certain that Chance Poor kicks it out of the end zone because we're not coveraging it well. And it's happened the last two games where the opposing team has come out between Auburn and Ole Miss. They've made it out to the 38, 40-yard line. They're getting great field position to start their possession right there. The other thing is, yeah, it is a surprise. We have touted this, including myself. I am just as guilty. Touted this defense. It might be one of the best defenses. This might be a special team we're going to go to.
Now, to be fair, I never said anything about the defense. That was all you.
It was.
I did get on the offensive line train. I did get on that bandwagon.
Yes.
But they've looked okay, but to me they haven't looked like the sixth best offensive line in the country, which we've heard a lot of people say, including some national broadcasters who have come on different shows and said, oh, they're definitely a top 10.
Right.
I don't know, man. Do you think they've looked like a top 10 offensive line?
You know, kind of mentioned it yesterday. When you've got these short and goal, and we're having a tough time getting them into the end zone,
yeah,
that tells you right there what's up.
Well, to me, if you have a top 10 offensive line in the country and you're on the goal line, why would you ever pass the ball?
You shouldn't
have to.
Right. You should be moving that line, the line of scrimmage, into the end zone without any hesitation.
You should run it down their throat. They should know you're about to run it down their throat, and they should not be able to stop you if you have one of the best offensive lines.
I'm with you.
Right or wrong?
I mean, I'm with you. Bluegrass Jack tweeted out, Feinbaum just showed the disrespect all the SEC gives us, had one of the best two-year stretches in UK history, and everyone dismisses this team two games into the season.
Yeah.
See, that's the whole situation right there. Here we have, and I'm going to disagree with you a little bit, Bluegrass Jack. It hasn't been the best 2 years. It's probably been the best 3 or 4 years that we've seen at Kentucky. I mean, you go down to the bowl in Orlando. You beat Penn State. We go down to the bowl in Charlotte at the Belk Bowl. We win down there, and we won the one before that. So you look at this, and you think, okay, what's going on? I mean, why is it so bad? Two games that were back to the old, same old, same old for Kentucky.
We did play Auburn, the number 8 team in the country, and Ole Miss after that. So it's not like we played any schlubs out there.
Though, the problem with that, though, Shannon, is that Auburn played who last weekend?
I didn't follow up with who Auburn played with.
They played
Georgia. That's right.
And Georgia just manhandled them, making Auburn not look like the number
8. That's the difference between the number 3 team in the country and the number 8 team in the country.
Okay. All right, if you say so.
But I do want to go back and make one point to sort of add on to what I was talking about with the offensive line. Last season, every team knew we were going to run the ball.
Yes.
And they couldn't stop Kentucky. Now, part of that's because of Lynn Bowden and his, superior athleticism. But I think a lot of that should be credited to the offensive line last season.
Yeah.
And I just don't know that they'd be able to protect them. I don't know if they'd be able to protect them this year's team.
No.
Like, I don't know.
I don't either.
Something's a little different.
Something has changed, so I don't know what it is either. But, all right, let's talk about a little bit of basketball now. What do you think about UK? Of course, UK lost the Hartford game, and now they've been trying to set up this multi-game event in Lexington, which is going to be November 25th, 27th, and 29th. Okay, so they got the MGE is what they call it now. But they lost Hartford last week and replaced them with Morehead State.
I like it.
I do, too.
Yeah.
Listen, I like playing in-state games. My biggest criticism now is going to be Detroit Mercy. We're only doing that for just 3 or 4 people in the state of Kentucky, and then it's not going to be much of a game. I still remember, and here's my beef with playing Detroit Mercy. Mike Davis is the head coach, right?
Yep.
Okay. Mike Davis used to play at Alabama. And then also was the head coach at IU. Everybody remembers Mike Davis losing it towards the end of the game versus Kentucky, and because he stated how much he hates UK. And now we're doing everything we can to play his team.
It's not about him.
No, but partly it is.
It's about Brad.
I know it is. But I still, that's still supporting Mike Davis. I don't like that. I think the Richmond game is going to be a good game.
Well, next time Calipari puts the schedule together, he should call up Michael Bennett and say, hey, do you like this?
He should.
Because I'm sure he cares what you like and what you don't.
Listen.
It means something to him, I'm sure. I'm sure it does.
Every time he sees me, he kind of gives me a look. And I'm like, okay, what's he thinking right now? It makes me kind of laugh. But I know he dreads when I ask a question. But it's okay. I mean, I don't like playing these little patsy games.
If you get, do you want to play an all SEC schedule like the football team?
You know, for basketball, I think that would be a lot of fun because we're supposed to win. This is going to be probably the best SEC basketball conference we've seen in a long time, if ever. Tennessee is going to be really good. Florida is going to be really good. You know, LSU is going to be really good. Auburn's going to be really good. If you're honest about it, Shannon, Kentucky might be their third or fourth best team in the SEC.
Really?
Yes. That's what a lot of people are saying.
Who, Feinbaum? Did he say that?
No, Feinbaum, yeah, he did. He definitely. I mean, it was probably Joe from Monticello that called in and said, hey, Kentucky's going to be the number four team in the SEC. Listen.
Monticello?
I don't know. Monticello. How's that?
Monticello.
Well, if you go to Charlottesville, Virginia.
They make cellos there.
Have you never heard of Monticello? That's where Jefferson lived.
Monticello.
No, it's Monticello.
You're talking about in Kentucky, right?
In Kentucky, it's Monticello.
Yeah.
But if you go to Virginia,
oh, okay. It's I'm sure that's what you meant to do. Reference some random place in Virginia.
Okay, fine. He gets phone calls from everywhere. Don't give me this kind of crap. Let's go ahead and take a break because you're already.
You've never gotten a call from Monticello, Virginia.
Of course we haven't, but I bet you Paul Feinbaum has. Settle down.
Jeez. No, I'm wound up.
All right.
You're going to be the third person on the other side of the ring. It's going to be Sally Barrett, Paul Feinbaum.
Stop, it's making my cheek hurt.
Michael Bennett versus Shannon the Dude, Woo, uh-huh. and Cash Daniel.
Yeah.
We
yeah.
would rip your all's heads off.
Cash would say, hey, dude, get the fat boy. Let's go.
I could take care of you and Feinbaum by myself.
I'm sure you could.
I mean, then Woo would take care of Sally Barrett and Cash Daniel. We could just sit over in the corner and smoke a cigar. We wouldn't even have to fight.
That is making my cheek hurt. You got to stop. Oh, my gosh. Can we take our last break? Yeah. By the way, it's time to go to get that cup of coffee. There's only one place to go, and that's the Coffee Zone at Westport Village. It's only 2 minutes off the Waterson Expressway at the corner of Her Lane and Westport Road. The Coffee Zone, they roast all their own beans. They got more sugar-free and sugar-flavored that makes it really a nice little cup of coffee right there. So go see my good friends Diane and Craig Bishop at the Coffee Zone. Tell them I sent you. We'll be right back. This is Just the Cats.
Thanks for listening to Just the Cats on Talk Radio 1080.
This has been fun because these are a lot of songs I haven't heard in a long time.
Yeah.
So and unfortunately, won't be able to be able to hear live again with Eddie Van Halen, at least.
Yeah. Of course, we're playing all of these in honor of Eddie Van Halen, but yeah. I got to ask you, are you a David Lee Roth guy or a Sammy Hagar guy?
See, it's really tough. I mean, when it first happened and they came out with the songs that they did, I'm like, oh my gosh, it's really, because I liked Sammy Hagar. I really liked him as an independent artist. I liked I Can't Drive 55, which is so true, as you know.
Oh, yeah.
But I, as far as Van Halen, if you're a true Van Halen fan, you got to say you like the David Lee Roth more.
Me too. Yep, that's me.
Yeah. And that's the way I am.
I like some of the Sammy Hagar stuff, but David Lee Roth, I just think his voice fits the music better.
I always thought it was funny just to kind of slap in the face of Eddie Van Halen when David Lee Roth and Sammy Hagar went on the tour together. It's like, evidently none of them could get along, and it was all related to Eddie Van Halen, what I heard.
Wait, did they go on tour together without Eddie Van Halen?
Yes. Yeah, so they just went independently on tour together, David Lee Roth and Sammy.
When was this?
Oh, my gosh. Back in the 90s, maybe early 2000s, something like that.
Who played guitar?
Well, it's somebody else. It was none. They didn't call it Van Halen. So, but the bass player, what's his name, Anthony?
Michael Anthony.
Michael Anthony. Yeah. He joined them, and he and Sammy Hagar evidently are really close friends. Huh. So, but yeah, it was kind of cool. I thought it was really cool, too. What was it? 2 or 3 years ago, Van Halen reuniting with David Lee Roth in the very first world tour concert was here in Louisville.
Yeah, yeah, that was awesome. I didn't get to go to that, but now I wish I had.
Exactly. So, All right, let's talk a little bit about basketball. Five-star class of 21, 6'9", power forward Damian Collins out of Atlanta, Texas, not Atlanta, Georgia, cut his list yesterday from all the way down to five, with UK being a part of it. He's also including Texas, Oklahoma, Texas Tech, and Kansas. They're saying Oklahoma is probably in the lead right now. At least that's what Crystal Ball is saying. But here's why I bring this up, because I don't like talking about recruiting. I know, Shannon, you can't stand recruiting, but here's the big deal. This young man is out of course, he's a power forward, so we, you know, we're always looking for those big men to come to Kentucky, but this is kind of the first true test for Jay Lucas, because this young man, like I just said, he's out of Texas, and Jay Lucas is now really trying to make the fast track with him and make him come to Kentucky. So I think that everybody kind of feels good, the fact that Jay Lucas is down there and making certain that, hey, he's going to show him the ropes and hopefully persuade this young man, instead of going to Oklahoma, Texas, or any of those other schools, he comes to Kentucky. So it's, let's see.
Good opportunity for Jay Lucas to come in and make an immediate impact for recruiting.
Yes.
So, I think maybe he does need to get Collins, just to be able to say, hey, I belong here. You know, I mean, look, I'm already making an impact. I've already been here, you know what, a couple of months and already bringing in a big recruit.
Right, right. So a little bit of sad news. If you get on my website, justthecats.com, you'll see a lot of posts that a young man by the name of Keith Taylor puts up. And Keith does a great job. He's been around UK for a long time. And I just wanted to say his mother passed away from COVID at the young age of, I believe she was 67, 68 years old. And I just wanted to send thoughts and prayers out to Keith and his family. Keith's a great guy and does a real bang-up job. Writes for Kentucky Today, which is a Baptist-based website, and it lives down in not Richmond, but Berea, Kentucky. And I just wanted to say, Keith, I hope you're doing well, and Siri, I'm sorry about your mom. So anyway, but just wanted to say that real quick. All right, so the Heat is now down to one game, and they're going to be eliminated by the Lakers. What do you think about this, Shannon? I mean,
I thought it was going to happen.
I thought it was going to be swept. I mean, I really did.
Yeah.
And it was fun to watch Tyler Hero without Bam Adebayo the other night. But I'm telling you, Tyler Hero has far exceeded, I think, even the Heat's expectations on how well he's played.
Oh, yeah. I don't think there's any argument about that. I mean, I knew he would be a good player, but I didn't know that he would be nearly as great as he has been. He has been the standout player, other than Jimmy Butler's night.
Oh, my.
On, what was that, game three?
Game three.
Yeah. I mean, he went off there. But I mean, yeah, to your point, though, Hero's just been amazing. He has exceeded, I think, just about everyone's expectations.
Yeah, so they lost by 6 points last night. Bam had 15 points. Tyler Hero had 21. And then, of course, Anthony Davis had 22 for the Lakers. But here's the stat that really has stuck out that just kind of opened my eyes. So in the NBA Finals, Anthony Davis has averaged 61% from the field goal, 55% from three-point range, and 100% at the free throw line.
Wow.
How do you like those stats?
Yeah. I didn't know it. Anthony Davis could shoot threes.
I didn't either. That's the crazy thing. He was never given an opportunity at UK. I would love
to. Well, I can understand why.
Yeah.
I mean, you want
him under the goal.
You want him under the goal, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, but I think it's awesome. What would Cal have done if Anthony got out there at the three-point shot and shot one up there?
Well, it depends on if it went in.
Benched immediately?
Well, if it went in, he wouldn't have.
Really? You think he would come back to the bench and say, hey, don't do that again, even though it went in?
I don't know. I mean, you can argue with success, right?
No, you can't.
If it goes in.
I mean, I think it's great. Anthony Davis.
Would you say he was shooting 55%?
Yes.
That's unbelievable.
He is shooting 55% from three-point range.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For a guy as talented as he is underneath the basket, a guy to be able to step out and knock down a three is just...
Right.
You just don't see that.
It's just crazy numbers. So I
guess Dirk did that, right? But, I mean, other than that...
Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
And you kind of
not too many players.
After a while, you kind of expected him to do it. Now, Are the Lakers going to expect Anthony Davis to start shooting more from the outside than the inside?
I mean, if he's shooting 55%, I don't know how many attempts he's made, but that's got to be, I would say that's probably leading the team, isn't it?
I don't know. I haven't checked that out, but it's got to be up there close. I mean, I'm telling you, I really believe this, that the popularity, you're going to swing in popularity from going from LeBron James over to Anthony Davis. And I just want to know how LeBron is going to be able to take this.
Yeah. You're definitely seeing the popularity of Anthony Davis. I think, I don't want to say it's exceeded LeBron James yet, but it's definitely, like you said, it's up there with him. Yeah.
Yeah, it really is.
Going to push LeBron out the door one of these days.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, a lot of fun hearing the old Van Halen song today. I appreciate you doing that. So, everybody, have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow. Just the Cats.